Hey there, and welcome to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast, serving up stories and knowledge on Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. This is what's hot in Dynamics. You're now joining Merlin Schweiger, Liz McGlennon, and Ashley Steiner.
The best part is like sitting through the ukulele practice concert during breakfast because he has to practice 10 minutes a day or something. So he'll play it during breakfast and you have like a little show while you're eating Pop-Tarts because I eat my nephew's Pop-Tarts when I'm there.
What flavor?
They usually have the cinnamon and sugar or the whatever it's called, like the... Yeah, they've not developed into, sometimes they have s'mores. They haven't developed into like the fruit flavored ones yet, you know, because they're still pretty little. My favorite
strawberry. I can't remember the last time I had a Pop-Tart. It's been like at least a decade or two.
I only eat them because like they're there, right? Like I don't buy them for myself, but like I love eating my nephew's food when I'm
there. Do you eat them cold or do you toast them?
Oh, I eat them cold. I've tried like a toasted strawberry one and I didn't like it.
Really? Mm-hmm. I found that I very much prefer them like warm, hot, toasted. I don't, it's something about it. Like, honestly, I feel a little bit fancy. I'm like, well, I'm actually going to toast my toaster pastry. Ooh.
I don't like warm fruit. Not that like I'm saying like the what's inside of a Pop-Tart is actually fruit. But
no, you know what I'm saying? Like sugar fruit, goo.
Like a warm fruit flavor. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't like apple pie. I don't like...
So you're not into fruit pies then, I guess.
Nope, not into fruit pies. Like, there's just something about warm fruit. I'm just...
You don't like an apple crisp?
No.
Interesting. I always knew there was something a little bit off about you, Ashley. Now I feel like...
That's the only thing? What it is.
Yes, I feel like I've got lots of them.
I'm like, that's the first thing you've ever noticed. No offense, Ashley. We're all...
No, it's none taken.
Trying to be nice to Ashley.
Unusual.
I know. I must be coming down with something. Maybe I have a fever.
Let's hear it, okay. Marilyn.
So security. I got two parts to my security monologue. One part is that security hasn't changed. Like, really, hasn't changed in, like, ever. Like, I don't feel
false.
Like...
False. Yeah. Access teams came out in like 2013 or something, right?
Okay.
But I think,
like,
it depends on how you think of security. Okay. Like, I was going to say, it depends on how you think of security.
Sure. Cause... The security roles, like with the little bubbles, like that has never changed.
True.
Which is kind of fascinating that it's never changed.
Like, I think they've rearranged things a little bit.
Oh, they definitely have. And they've like added more tabs and like added more stuff. And you're right. They like brought in access teams at one point. They added the field level security. Now, I guess column level security at some point. Like that.
Like 2011? Like, we've had field level security forever. Yeah, well,
sorry. I forgot that you guys aren't as old timer as I am. But they added that at some point. It wasn't there originally. And there's like lots of new cool features for, I don't know, like soft security, like obfuscation of data, or like making it so that you can't really see things. Like, you put stuff in apps and now you can like hide things, you know, you don't have these forms, you don't have these views, but like if you're motivated, you can still get to the data behind the scenes. But it's fascinating to me that like the little bubbles have never changed. Maybe that just says that they like landed on a good design and have no reason to change it. I don't know.
Why change something that works?
I guess.
I mean, of all the places for them to invest money, would you want it to be in the bubbles on security?
Probably not.
I bet they'll update the interface eventually. I bet it's just at the bottom of the list.
Yeah. Yes. True. I mean, it works, right? Like,
right.
It's easy to understand. Right, like it took me a hot minute. Like,
yeah, I was gonna say, but it was not easy in the beginning when you're brand new. That's pretty overwhelming and confusing.
Yeah, but I feel like there's so many resources now to make it easier, right? Back when we were learning, Liz, there wasn't the kind of resources there are today.
No, I had like a book.
Yeah, that big like blue. Yeah, that who put that together? They're not even a Microsoft partner anymore, are they?
Sonoma Partners used to write books. Mm-hmm. They were acquired by like EY.
I probably still have that somewhere.
Well, I I kind of hope that you don't.
I kind of hope that I do, because then I can include like a picture of it on social or something. Like,
that's true.
Do you remember when?
It's a throwback Thursday.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
That'd be good.
So I don't know. Like, you're right. The bubbles work. I think they can be really annoying if you've got to make lots of changes, though. Like, I went through this somewhat recently where I was building new security roles for like a set of users that like didn't fit into anything out of the box really. And I'd forgotten like how annoying it is to like four clicks on each row to like turn things all on or turn things all off, or just like, cause I started from another role, like, you know, grab the salesperson role and then modify it. And I'm like, okay, well, they don't need any of this stuff. So I'm just like, click, 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 click on all these row headers, which is kind of annoying, but.
But that is best practice. I think throwing that out there, you know, like if the salesperson or customer service, you know, whatever out of the box role that there is, find the one that's most similar to what you're looking for and copy it. Only start brand new if you're doing, you know, only create a brand new security role if you're like adding something to an existing role. Like in my examples, we have the salesperson one and we've copied it for different teams and things like that, depending on access, but nobody has the ability to create an account. No, I say nobody. Some sales teams do, some others don't. So I have like a security role that's brand new that just has, can you create an account? Can you not create an account? And so there's a security role that I add on to the salesperson role if they can create an account. So I would say that's the difference there is like if you're only adding on security for like a specific thing.
So can I ask a question? Like, is that still a best practice? Like I haven't actually done like a core base role from scratch in 10 plus years, like before I knew not to do that. And like, I know like, obviously it's easier if you don't have to click everything. So like, that's a reason to start from an existing role. But like the other reason back in the day was like, there was just things that like belonged there behind the scenes that you wouldn't get otherwise. And you would get all these errors if you didn't start from an existing role. So like, have they fixed the latter part of that, or is that still an issue and that's still a reason why it's the best practice?
I'm going to start off by saying I don't know, but if I had to make a guess, I'm going to guess that yes, that is still the best practice because they've made no other changes to security. So why would they have gone in and fixed those issues when they've done nothing else? Agreed with you though, Liz, like I have not just built a brand new role and tried to add things because I just know, all right, I'm going to copy this because I don't want to run into issues.
Well, and I still think it can save you time because it's just less clicking, unless like the role you want though just isn't in there at all. And then it's kind of like, it would be maybe be nice to start fresh if there weren't going to be errors from it.
I don't think it's a matter of fixing something. I think it's that you'd have to, the problem is the tab with all of the like views and user settings and all of those other like permissions, that if you don't have all of the right permissions for that, like you can't get access to the system.
I disagree. I was told by your consultant on that, like it just inherently comes with things that you can't even get to in the security role.
I've been told the same by Microsoft people.
Interesting.
Like Microsoft support, which I guess gauge your level of, you know, if you trust Microsoft support or not.
And I've seen the error, like I got the errors because I did the roles, Ashley and I were in the same project together, like, and I was like, oh, that's kind of stupid, you know.
Yeah, we definitely learned that at the same time.
Yeah, because we had to redo all the security roles. It sucked. And then back then too, I didn't know that you could click on the column headers and the row titles to toggle the whole column or the whole row. So I clicked like each circle individually. It was very time consuming. So I like to show new people that you can there. I mean, it still takes a long time. It's putzy, but it helps.
It does.
To click on the labels.
Yes. I mean, how would you change it though, Merlin? So like, if it wasn't the circle, it's like, what would you want it to be? Like, what would be less time consuming in your mind? Because it's not like you could be like, oh, this person, like, write it out and then, like, have it just know what you mean. Like, oh, they need to be able to create and read accounts but not edit other people's accounts. Like, you can't just, like, write that out and do nomenclature.
Yeah.
Like, drop-down menus.
Ugh.
I have an idea. I know how it, I would change about it, but Merlin, I want to hear your thought first.
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if I have a good idea. Like I think the circles get the point across. I'm not sure how I would change that.
So I would ask first if you were using business units, because so many places don't. And if you're not, I would take away all the middle business unit ick that you don't need if you're not really, because it's irrelevant if you're not using business units. So I'd have like a pre-qualification question of like business units, yes, no. And then the UI, the circles would change and become simpler if you weren't using business units.
So you're saying it would be just as difficult for somebody who's using 37 business units like myself?
Yeah, that's your own problem to make it that complicated.
Gotcha. Okay.
There's no way around that. Like,
because like how many companies do you think really are using business units? Like less than half.
Well, and I guess that goes into another question, is that I've heard mixed reviews on whether or not you should use business units.
Really?
Because like if you are trying to separate data, people are like, oh, just use security for it. You know, just give them security, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like in my example, my company, we're Grow by Acquisition, it truly is separate businesses, like different companies under one umbrella. How would you do that without business units? You have to.
Like if you literally need to keep the data siloed. Yeah. 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 No, you do. They have a use case. Yeah. I'm just saying not every business actually needs to be that strict with keeping the data separate.
Right. I feel like in situations where they do need to be that strict, then the conversation has historically turned to separate environments or business units. Like, which one?
Yeah, but what do you want? 37 environments?
But not only that, like, how do you then, as an administrator, manage the data? Like, how do you make sure somebody over here isn't adding an account? I mean, that's so far beyond security, because they technically have overlap on accounts and you want to make sure that they're not creating duplicates. So that's where the one environment comes in.
Mm-hmm. Maybe. Yeah. Or you could have people in there that do want the overall view. And if you're in separate environments that you would now, that's like Power BI or integration or like, yeah. Cause you normally have a set of people that should have the visibility to everything.
But that is like a good question. But I mean, like this is just shows, I think, how many options you have to think about, right? Like how, I mean, doing the data model is so important to understanding how the security should be set up in addition to apps, business units, things like that. You need to understand your data and how you want it segmented.
That is a big question, especially in the beginning. And I feel like it's a hard thing to kind of undo once you've already gone down a path. Like it's almost like a re-implementation if you want to change it.
If you go too far, yes. I think the caveat to that is you could start like mostly open and then like lock things down over time. But if you start like, no, we need like this in-depth security model and like a business unit hierarchy with like everybody broken out and roles everywhere, to try to undo that would be challenging.
Agreed. But I usually recommend to start open if there's any uncertainty or gray area, like unless they're like, no, we have a legitimate for sure business requirement where we need business units. If they're just wishy-washy, it's like, no, you start open and then you cross that bridge if you need it in the future. It's also just so much more work to maintain an environment with business units. Like it just complicates everything more, including the security roles. Ashley's like, oh, I know. Ashley, tell us about your business units.
Well, especially because we're Grow by Acquisition, but what happens is you acquire a company and then eventually they could roll up under another company. So like, cool, we acquire them, get them on Dynamics, they're in their own, but then eventually they roll up into FTG East, for example. Great example I'm running through right now. And then there's like some people that need all of FTG East. There's some that just need this one company or these two companies, or so you have to like structure it and create the business unit parents in a way that makes sense so that people can see the data they need to. And it's really quite painful because if you get it wrong, for example, I put somebody in one business unit so they would have more access, but then they couldn't open something under a child business unit because their security role, it's just the security roles become so important then, because it's like, do I see only my business unit? Do I see parent child? Do I, it's, and then which one do you change? So if somebody doesn't have the access they need, do you change the security role or do you just move them into a different business unit? it's really quite painful, to be honest, and thinking it through, especially setting up the business units once our companies start combining.
What, like, do you feel like your setup you have today still is the best approach, even though it's difficult? Or now with like hindsight, would you, knowing what you know about your business, like, would you approach it differently now? I know it wasn't your decision and you inherited the system, but
like, no. But I mean, I've been able to have a free rein of changing it, right? If I wanted to, like, to Merlin's point, we've gone so far down the path of making it so restrictive that sometimes it is hard to bring it back, but I've found ways actually to bring it back a little bit and talk people out of being so restrictive. There's parts of it that I would keep. I definitely think every company should have its own business unit, just because, you know, but as companies combine, yeah, I don't know. It's a really, such a really good question. Cause like, we have one company that has business units for every single office that they have. I don't think that was like, I think now
things have stepped too far.
So that's what I'm saying, Merlin. So like, so I have, and then they had like business units within those business units, because they're like, oh, this one person can only see their data. These people can't see their data.
Yeah, so I've been able
So I've been able to take it back a little bit like that, you know, gotten rid of some of those like A and B business units under a business unit. It's so I've been able to roll it back a little bit, but I don't know if I would have, like, from a hierarchy from the top, right? Like, I think I still would have created a separate business unit for each company and then just be very thoughtful about how, like, who the parent is, kind of like what I'm doing with FTGE. So, you know, I was very thoughtful about where I place people and the parent business units and security. And I've definitely made some mistakes. Like, just a couple weeks ago, I put somebody in the wrong business unit, so had to move them. And again, no big deal, but it's definitely a learning experience. So yeah, I think it's still, there's parts of it I would keep. There's definitely parts I would have made different.
What other business unit best practices do you think there are?
I want to throw one comment in, which is for anybody who hasn't already run into this or isn't aware, when you move a user between business units, they lose all of their security roles. So you got to add them again.
I found that out the hard way too. When no one could access the system, they're like, why can't we log in? I'm like, I don't know. Nothing changed. Oh yeah, I moved everyone around.
I will say what was nice is the partner who set all that up for us. Like, that was the first thing they said. And then I was like, oh yeah, like, you know it, but you forget, right? Yeah. It's
and it's not like it does it tell you that it's removing that? No, it doesn't tell you. It should.
Yeah. I mean, anytime it does something like that, I mean, I understand why they get removed, right? Because the security roles are business unit specific, but it's just, it's not there on the homepage unless you add a subgrid. Maybe that's the one way you could remember, but.
Who, have you ever been part of a implementation where the security roles are actually business unit specific though? Like, I feel like that's always been super rare for me to encounter.
Again, in my current environment, there are some where
it's because, like, you have so many business units.
Well, there's only one. There's only, like, I have made it very, very, like, I've made the security roles in a way that they work for everybody. But like, when one company got onboarded, they decided to create their own security roles. And I just have never, I should probably just compare. Mm-hmm. But it has actually made me run into issues where they have access to stuff like to export to Excel. And I'm like, you shouldn't be able to export. So I'm like going through manually all the security roles. So that's, I'm actually going to probably write that down as like a project, like get rid of those two security roles.
Cause I've always wondered what that's for. Like, I've never had to use it. And I'm like, well, what's the use case for this?
I mean, yeah, I don't know. I'm sure it gives flexibility. There might be some situation where it applies.
A really obscure.
But... Right. I don't think I've ever seen it.
That neither of us, none of us have encountered. And encountered it. That I don't think there's a reason.
Not in a way that's beneficial. It's just more complex.
Just another like path you can go down that will cause more problems and headaches.
Yeah. I think I agree with Marlon's earlier point where you start generic, right? See if you can use the same security role for all business units. And then maybe add in, like, I have some business units that can't create accounts. So I just created a create account security role and I add it for those companies that are allowed to. Right. So I try to make it really, really simple rather than like, pretty, that would be a nightmare. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And actually, I feel like that touches on one of my suggested best practices, which is like from a security role perspective, try to keep them as consistent as you possibly can and deal with those one-off situations a different way, right? Like if 90% of people aren't allowed to create accounts, but like this handful is, don't create a separate security role that's identical to the base role just for those 10 people. Like give everybody the same role and then do what you've done. And like this role is just the create accounts role. And that's literally all that it does.
Just stack them. That's
the only bubble that's got bubbled and you just add that one to the users who need it.
I agree. Yeah, totally. Same. Yeah. And they're added. Like if people don't know how security roles work, like you can have as many as you want and you can, they always add permissions. They don't take away permissions.
Which is a good thing to point out because Office 365 decreases the permission based on your security role. So I think that it's really good to note the difference because if you are moving from, I guess it's Microsoft 365 now, but if you come from that kind of world, it is, the security is completely different in Dynamics.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Active Directory security roles are like, if you don't have this permission in every role, then you don't get it. And Dynamics is the opposite, where if you have it anywhere, it's yours.
What's the word for that? Because it's additive for Microsoft, for Dynamics, right? Where it's like they add together. Is it subtractive?
That's what I was thinking. Is that even a word? Can it be a word now?
Yeah, I will submit it to Webster's Dictionary.
I'm sure there's a word for it. I don't know what it is.
How do you guys feel about adding security roles to Teams? Because I've been in environments where they're on both. And then when you have security things going on, you're troubleshooting, you have to like, you then Teams are in the mix, and like which Teams they're on. And that just really complicates things too.
I would suggest, if at all possible, that you do one or the other and not both. I feel like, again, Teams is one of those spots where if you have like one-off requirements or like you can't break it down into a tree, like the business unit structure is very much tree, like hierarchy based. But if your needs are like a little bit more like ad hoc, like I need Venn diagrams, then maybe Teams is more of the things that you need instead of business units. But
well, they also just function completely differently. Like a business unit cannot own a record, but a team can own a record.
Yeah, that's where it gets weird with the security roles.
So are you talking about in a role, in a way, I'm sorry, in a position where you have people on the team, not just a team to own records? Because in my system, I just have teams.
No, yeah, like I'm saying, like you have a team with users and the team has security roles and then those users have their own security roles and the team security roles and they're all combining.
Got it. So I
a permission set.
I don't have that kind of situation because I have teams created just to own records, but nobody's not the team. So of course they have security roles. Yeah. So I don't, that I can't imagine if my... I would recommend avoiding that if at all possible. I would pick one.
I feel like if you need to go that path for some reason, then I would break the security roles apart in sort of the same way that we were just talking about, like capabilities versus baseline. And I would assign the users the security role that just gives them like access to the system. Like I can see forms and views and whatever. And then I would put all the actual record specific security, like here's what I am able to access on security roles that were assigned to the team. And then I would just try to like keep those as separate as possible. I would never assign like a user a security role that gives them access to data. And I would never, like the team doesn't need to have like a here's how you can log in sort of security role. So I might break it apart that way if that's the path that I needed to go. Sure. I don't know. I feel like I could see a situation where that kind of structure makes sense. Like, I don't know, I've got 13 people who all do exactly the same thing and access exactly the same records. And maybe they just work like around the sun. And so they're scattered around the world. And so they all just need to share the same stuff. And then maybe Teams is the way to go. I haven't seen it that often.
Either. It makes me think of many to many relationships. And it's like something I try to avoid unless I have to use it.
Right.
I use that in the same, I don't know. I put those in the same category of like avoid unless absolutely necessary.
I think that's a fair approach.
Although I can't tell you the last time I created a many relationship. So
I feel like that's a different conversation, Ashley.
What I'm saying is that like it's so seldom in my mind that like I don't even think of it as an option unless like I have to.
Fair enough. Similar for me is access teams. I feel like maybe I've encountered like one time when I was like, yep, access teams is the solution here. And otherwise I'm just like, nah, we don't need
it. Ashley, you should talk about the POA table. I know you have opinions.
Yeah, so we have access teams, and that is the difference, is that we don't have like the kind of teams that you were talking about, but we do. The way that our security is set up is that we have like, we don't use the owner field. We use like five different combination of fields to see who has access to a record. And then they all get added to an access team, and then that access team becomes the owner. I never would have built my system in this way, by the way. Like, this was all pre-me. I just would have like added people to an access team and like had it on the record and like, oh, these people have access. It's terrible. But what happens is that as you start to reassign or share things, or it totally builds your POA table. And we have like 250 gigabytes of POA table. It was insane. And you have to go to the right person at Microsoft. We were probably in a battle with Microsoft support for 4 months before we found the right person to delete the POA table. And we changed all of our relationships because we couldn't get rid of the access teams, because that's literally the base of how our system is built, from an access, you know, to specific records. So we had to go in and manually change every single relationship so that when you assign or delete or, you know, whatever, it doesn't build that POA table again. But yeah, no, it's terrible.
No, I know.
For anyone listening who doesn't know, the POA table is the principal object access table, and it keeps track of when you've shared records.
Yeah, when you use an access team, you're basically sharing. Like, it's just a different UI to share.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, actually, I have a very
thing. Yeah. And to my knowledge, is it doesn't do any benefit, because we got rid of the entire POA table, have had zero issues, changed the relationships. It's never grown again. It's been almost 2 years.
Okay.
I don't understand the purpose of it, to be honest with you. Like, I just think, I don't know why Microsoft puts the ownership of the POA table on the company, you know.
Well, if you're on-prem, you can access it yourself. It's only unaccessible if you're online in the cloud, and then you have to go to Microsoft. So I have a similar story. I was part of a project where they had already made this decision, but then I'm like coming in midstream, and they decided to use access tables, and then they wrote some code that would like automatically cascade the sharing out to like any child or related record. Oh, and so there's like, it was going like 10, 15 tables, like from just sharing that one record.
PTSD right now.
And then the PO, we didn't know what we, this was like, I don't know, 2016, maybe 2017. No, 2016. So like, we didn't know what was going on. And it took months to really figure out like, oh, it's like bloating the POA table. Oh, we have to open up a ticket with Microsoft. Like, this, it was a huge problem, and they were already live on the system, like well into using it before it was discovered. And like, the thing had to basically be like completely re-architected, mm-hmm. because the whole access team, like all of that was built, just didn't work. So yeah, it was a huge problem. I would never do that ever again. Not that it was my decision, but it was horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. And one thing that I've had to do, even as like, and I should do this more often than, you know, like every 7 months that I remember to do it, but there's an XROM toolbox tool, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes, where you can take a look at like every record that's shared and unshare it if you want to. But what happens in our environment is that sometimes when you reassign things, it keeps the old people on it because the POA table like doesn't refresh itself, I guess. I don't know what this is. So I have to physically go in and like, if it was previously assigned to one of those teams that I said before, that like it's just an owner, and then everybody in the company has access to it, I have to like manually remove that from the POA table in XROM toolbox. Otherwise, everybody can see an account that's assigned to another person. So it kind of reinforces your point, Liz, of like, if you can avoid setting up your system where access teams own everything, and don't do it. It's so painful.
I mean, I think access teams have a super specific use case. I would only use them if it like really is like perfect and makes sense. Like, I think they're used like 1 to 2% of the time, in my opinion.
Agreed. And so, and I think this is all just great warnings of like, okay, cool. If you do go down that path, here are all the things that you have to consider and think
just
of.
Like really think about it and plan before you go down that path. Yeah. Like just don't use it because it's there and it sounds.
And ask a few people before. I think that that's also another key is like, ask, don't just trust a partner that says this is the right way to do it. Go ask another partner or go ask a friend
or an independent contractor.
Right. Yeah. So if somebody's telling you that's your only option, I will call bet on that.
And there is never just one option in the system. Like rarely is there one way to design or solution or architect something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So go ahead,
Mark. I was just going to add to that. Like, I think the sort of important thing that I think about with access teams, it's really just relying on the sharing system, right? And the sharing system it's not designed to be something you should rely on. It's designed to be a one-off. Like if you are in the situation where you're trying to build your security structure and your thought is, oh, we'll just share stuff ad hoc as needed, or we'll write code to automatically share stuff as needed. Like, please don't do that.
No.
Please don't do that. That's a truly terrible idea. And it's also like, to Ashley, to your point about that POA table, like, once you've shared something, it's just kind of shared forever. It's been written into that table and now it's shared. You can go back to that record to see who you shared it with and then unshare it. But that's like a manual step. The system isn't just going to like clean itself out. And to your point before, if I take and like I own a record and I share it with Ashley and then somebody assigns that record to Liz, well, now she owns the record, but Ashley still has it shared with her. And there's no way to like notice that unless you use the external toolbox thing to see it. Like, don't rely on sharing as your foundation. It's the one-off, it's the edge case scenario, not the foundation. Please, please don't do it.
Merlin's like begging everyone, please don't. Please.
And if your partner tells you to do it and you want that second opinion that Ashley suggested, like put a comment on our video or our podcast, and one of us will tell you to tell your partner that they're high.
Interesting descriptive word there.
Yeah, well, Marilyn, just went there. So we're almost right up time. Liz, I think you had one more.
I do, but I don't know if we have enough time. So maybe we should just do security part two.
Yeah, I think that we should definitely do another deep dive because I feel like there was a lot more to talk about on this topic. Do you want to give a sneak preview of what we're going to talk
about? Like, we haven't talked about column level security or field level security. And then I know we've touched on it in the past, but I also feel like we should revisit how like security roles control which apps people get. So like those are two. I don't know if we have enough time to talk about both of those things right now.
Yeah, I think the field level security is something you could talk about for
like an entire podcast. Yeah.
Okay. So definitely come back for part two on that one. We'll talk more about it. Anything else you guys want to share?
I'm just gonna reiterate, don't rely on sharing. Don't. And where possible, start simple. Start simple. You can always make it more complicated if you start simple.
If you're new and confused about security or security role, ask for help and look up resources. Like, don't make assumptions. I think just get input on it if you're uncertain about what to do or how to use it.
Yeah, and feel free to ask any of us if you don't know where to find those resources. We'd either be able to help or point you in the right direction. So, all right. Well, thanks everyone for jumping in today and joining us.
Thank you for listening to the Dynamics Hot Dish Podcast. For additional content and previous episodes, check out our website at dynamicshotdish.com, follow us on Twitter at Dynamics Hot Dish, and subscribe to our podcast for notifications. Thanks. See you next time.